It's about the irresistible kingdom and the irresistible church that God has created. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is irresistible? Right? Jesus is irresistible. In his life on earth, he lived an irresistible life. He had this irresistible personality. He had this irresistible message. And wherever he went, he created an irresistible environment so that people would come and would be drawn to him. If he took people out into the wilderness to talk to them and teach them, and they ran out of food, he would create food for them to eat. If he went to a wedding and they ran out of wine, he would create wine for them to drink. He was this kind of a person that was always creating these irresistible environments so that people would be drawn to him to hear his irresistible message that would change their lives. He was simply irresistible. Now, he has a kingdom that is much like that today. Now, Jesus was so irresistible that he was such a distraction to the religious system, the Pharisaical religious system, that they said, well, we're going to kill you. And he says, well, go ahead, because if you kill me, I'll even be more irresistible, right? Is that what he said? Here's what he says in John chapter 12 and verse 32. He says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, what will happen? I will draw, how many? All men, all people, all ethnic groups, all colors, all languages, all nations to me. Is that a promise or not now? You see, there is an irresistible draw that's happening right now in the earth. It's been going on for 2,000 years. And what I'm going to show you today is how big this is happening right now. Now, this word draw in the Greek is the Greek word helkuo. And what it simply means is drag. Drag. Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father drag him or draw him. And this is what's happening. You see, what I want you to understand is what I'm trying to relay to you about this drawing into the kingdom, this irresistible kingdom, this irresistible, simply irresistible thing that I'm projecting. You see, all of us have been drawn by the Father. Every single person in the whole world has been drawn by the Father. Now, they may resist it for a period. In fact, they may resist it many times. How many of you came the very first time you felt the draw on your heart? Or did it, like me, take several drawings or several draggings till they finally drug you far enough? You see, people don't resist and that's it. They have to resist again, and they have to resist again, and they have to resist again, and they have to resist it again. Because every time Father draws them, they come a little closer, and a little closer, and a little closer. And then finally, he drags them right on in. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You didn't come the first time. It took several times to drag you in, right? Well, that's what's happening to your loved ones. That's what's happening to your friends right now. That's what's happening all over the earth. Maybe you've seen it happen. Maybe you've seen it happen to your spouse, or to your children, or to your parents, or to friends. But you've watched God deal with their life time after time after time. It's simply irresistible. No one is immune to the drawing of Jesus Christ. No one. It is simply irresistible. He says, I will draw or I will drag all men unto me. Now, I believe that the kingdom of God and the church should be simply irresistible. It was in Acts chapter 2. You remember the day of Pentecost? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell on these people and they were out staggering around in the streets. Remember that? They created this irresistible environment where people had to come and see what was going on. How many people got saved that day? 3,000. 3,000 people because of an irresistible environment. And then that thing just mushroomed and took off into that city. Let me read you this in Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Everyone was filled with what? Awe, because of this irresistible environment of wonders and miracles and signs that were being done. You see, there was this irresistible environment that was awe. How many think the church ought to be awesome today? It should be the most awesome. Stay on track though. Okay. And as they took this thing and they preached it in the whole world, it was just as irresistible in every city that it went into. There's a scripture, I'm going to read it to you, but wherever they went, they turned it upside down. Right? Here's what it says in Acts 17:6. These that have turned the world upside down, now they've come to our town. Right? They've come hither also. So when the church is really doing what it's supposed to be doing, when we function in an irresistible manner and we create irresistible environments, then we turn regions upside down. This is what the church is positioned specifically and uniquely in society to bridge the lost to the found. It's a bridge, and that's what God has created it to do. Now, the Bible says that you and I are the body of Christ. You ever read that? You know what I'm talking about? We're his fingers, we're his mouth, we're his feet, we're his hands, we're his arms. We are the body of Christ. And so we're being conformed to his image. So if Jesus was irresistible, then what should that make us? Irresistible. And we are to do what he did, create irresistible environments, a thing that is simply irresistible, so that people will come into it. What we are doing in the kingdom of God is the most important thing that's happening on planet Earth today. Let me say that one more time. The thing that we are doing in the kingdom of God right now is the most important thing. There is nothing more important than what we are doing right now. Your reaching and grabbing souls and dragging them into the kingdom of God is the most important thing that's happening right now. It's the most important thing that you will ever do. We as the church should be creating irresistible environments so that when people come here, they hear an irresistible message that changes their lives, or what Jesus would say saves their souls. See, it's an irresistible message. And I think that the church should be the best thing going. See, I don't think that when we wake up on Sunday morning that it should be a debate whether I go to church or not. I don't think it should be a contest. I think when we wake up on Sunday mornings, we look and say, I get to go to church today. Man, I wonder it's okay if I get there early. I know that most of you have never been to a big church where you've got to, when you go and you drive in, you're directed by police telling you where to turn. And because there's so much traffic going into a church, or when you get into their parking lot, they've got cones set out where you can't park, and so they're directing you where you can. And then when you go to the sanctuary doors, they're not open yet, and people are lined up. And as soon as they open the doors up, people are running in to the church to find them a seat. Now, until you see that and experience that, you're not really understanding what I'm talking about. But that's what I want here. Man. And I know you do too. And what it takes is an irresistible environment. Do you believe that the church should be the best thing? Do you believe that the church should be simply irresistible? Would you say that back to me? I believe that the church should be simply irresistible. Yes. But sadly, it's not that way, is it? Sadly, that's not the concept that most people have of church. It's a drudgery. It's something I'm supposed to do if I'm a Christian. It shouldn't be that way. Years ago when we began this church, we wanted to do something different. We didn't want to be like any other church. We wanted to be more like the church that we read about in the New Testament. And we've had great success. 20 years of success. And victory after victory after victory. But we don't feel yet that we've accomplished what God set us here to do. We don't yet believe that we've seen all that the prophetic words that have been spoken over us. We don't think we've seen all of those things fulfilled. And what we want to do is create a simply irresistible environment for our region that will turn this region upside down to the likes that it's not seen before. I believe it can happen. And what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks are ways that I think it's going to take to create this simply irresistible environment. So today what I want to talk to you about is irresistible best. Irresistible best. The Bible tells us a story about the prodigal son. It's about a father who had two sons, two boys, an older and a younger. The younger son comes to his dad and he says, I want my inheritance and I want it now. I want you to take it, convert it to money, give it to me and I'm going to go spend it. The father did that, and the son took his money, and the Bible says he squandered it. Things went bad for him, and he ended up with pigs, actually eating with pigs. It got so bad. The Bible says he came to his senses, and he says, you know what? I've left the best. I'm going to go back to the best. I'm going to go back to my father, because there, at least, I'll have good food to eat. So here's what the Bible says in this passage in Luke chapter 15 and verse 20. I hope you're there in your Bible. But here's what it says. It'll be on the screens for you. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the, say that, you got to see it. Quick, bring the best robe. And then he lists all these other things, and it's continual. So it's not only the best robe, it's the best ring. It's not only the best ring, it's the best sandals. It's not only the best sandals, man, it's the best calf. It's not only the best calf, you know, it's the best party. Yeah? Why? Because my son was lost or dead, and now he's found and alive. I want to project to you a question. Why did the father wait until the son came home to give him the best? Why didn't he give him the best before he left? I mean, if that's what it was going to take. You ever thought about that? You see, this parable is not a parable about a wayward son. This is a parable about you and me. See, I think he gave him the best so he would never leave again. When you have the best, why go looking anywhere else? And so when we come into the kingdom of God, we should have the best life, the more abundant life, the best joy, the best peace. We should have the absolute best. And that's what God wants for all of His children. That's what it's about. God's always been about giving us the best. He gave Adam the best garden, did He not? Adam and Eve, here's this wonderful garden. You can have it. He gave Abraham the best land. In Egypt, He gave the Israelites, the children of Jacob, of Israel, all those boys, He gave them the best land, even in Egypt. Let me show you this verse in Genesis 47:11. It says, so Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt and gave them property in what? The best part of the land. See, God's about giving us the best, no matter where we are. He wants us to have the best. David was the best king. Solomon built the best temple. In our covenant, we have the best covenant, right? We have the best joy, the best truth, the best peace, the best life, the more abundant life. God's about making sure we have the best. Because once we tap into realizing that we should have the best, then why in the world would we ever want to go out there and experience something lesser? Well, if we understand that we can have access to the best, why would we want to go live with pigs? So God's about getting us the best. So I want to talk about today why for 2,000 years Jesus has been drawing or dragging all people, nations, tongues, colors into the best, into the very best. See, God, and here's what you got to see first of all, God designed the kingdom of God to be the best, but also to expand. He designed the kingdom of God so that it would fill this earth. Now, let me read you this. Let me set it up for you first. In Daniel, I'm going to read to you in just a second, Daniel. What was happening is Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon, and they had gone down and captured the children of Israel, the children of God, and they had taken them into captivity. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was now having this dream. He was having this vision. And the vision was simply this huge image, and its head was gold, and its shoulders and chest were silver, and its belly and thighs were bronze, and its legs were iron, and its feet was iron mingled with clay. And he had this vision of this stone being cut out of a hand and crushing this image up. And it really bothered Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel was chosen and given the interpretation of that vision by God. And here's what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 2, verses 34 through 35. And then verse 44. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, and that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. The stone that smote the image became a great mountain that what? Filled the whole earth. You got to see that. The kingdom of God is designed to fill the whole earth. Or we could say to be irresistible. Going on to the next part that I want to read. And in the days of these kings, and that would be Rome, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. When will this kingdom be destroyed? Never be destroyed. Now let me tell you something. in getting across to us, what I've got to get across to us in this series, I'm going to have to talk about some eschatology. And not next week, but the week after, we're going to be talking about some kingdom eschatology. Now, if you want to hear it, great. And it's going to be so different from what many of you have ever heard that what I'm going to have to do is have a special session that night so you can come and ask all the questions that I'm going to create in you. All right? But I'm going to answer them. And I'm going to show you something. And it is an irresistible message. Once you've heard it, it's irresistible. Now, I'm going to set you up for it and get you hungry for it, and then I'll do it to you. Okay? I'll let you have it. But understand that we're going to be talking about that, so plan on it. Bring people. I want people to hear it. So which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and what? It shall stand forever. See, the kingdom of God has been advancing. Now, I've given you this page. You got this page? This page. It's going to really help me save some time. On that page, I've given you a lot of statistics. And if you don't have one, slip your hand up and somebody will be getting you. So don't care. Will somebody go? Are there some more out there? Okay. All right. When they come back in, keep your hand up and they'll get them to you. This is good. And what I want you, I've given you this so that you'll have it for your own references and that you'll have it for you can share it with people. But anyway, I want you to understand that God's been 2,000 years dragging people in. The kingdom of God has been getting bigger and bigger. And something right today is unprecedented happening. It's a phenomenon. See, what I want you to see, first of all, in that pie chart that I've given you, and they're going to put it up there for me right now, that pie chart shows us that we, Christians, are the largest group of people in the whole world. The whole world. Now, you're not told that. You're kind of told that we're a minority. We are the majority. Right now, we rule. I mean, come on. Are you with me? Let's take a vote. If we all vote like Christians should vote, we win, right? Yep. Right? We're winning. We are 33% of the world's population, Christians. We're a billion more people than the next one, than the Islams. And then and your chart goes around, and I'm not going to spend time on it except to point out one thing. If you come all the way around, the smallest group on there is Judaism. The smallest group, 0.22%. Now, when Daniel interpreted this vision, he was not seeing a stone cut out that was going to go through all the earth and create a Judaism kingdom. Right. This is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Right. And it's spreading, and it's growing, and it's beginning to fill this earth. I want you to know that Christianity and the kingdom of God are spreading today as never before. Now, I've got these quotes in here for you. I'm going to read them quickly. Charles Whitaker, in Today's Christianity, writes this. The real story is Christianity's dynamic and widespread growth in the last century, but particularly in the last 50 years, last five decades. Whether measured objectively by its raw numbers of adherents or subjectively by their favor, a candid observer cannot gainsay Christianity's growth. Let facts speak for themselves. And he goes on to say this. In Africa, at large, often thought to be a Muslim stronghold, the number of Christians has grown 360% in the last 100 years. In 1900, there were 10 million Christians there. Today, look at this, the number is 360 million. 300, yeah! The stone is consuming the earth. 360% increase. The striking growth is even more evident in the Orient than in Africa. In Korea, for example, the number of Christians has grown from 330,000 in 1900 to 12 million people today. That's 25% of Korea's total population. Even more impressive is the case of China. Since 1948, the number of practicing Christians continues to grow spectacularly. Today, there are tens of millions. We're talking about China. There are tens of millions of Christians there. In the Philippines, one Christian group alone, El Shaddai, has 7 million adherents. Now, my point in telling you this is that there is an irresistible best. People are beginning to realize that there is an irresistible kingdom that's an irresistible best, and people are beginning to come in and into it from all over the world. And the stone is literally doing what Daniel said it would do. It's growing, became a great mountain, and it's covering this whole earth. More people are Christians today than ever in history. Do you hear me? More people are coming into the kingdom of God today than ever before. It's unprecedented. John Vaughn, and I met him out in California when we went out to the outreach convention. And he does this research on churches. That's all he does. He just researches how big churches are. But anyway, he writes this. As of mid-2004, there are at least 238 known U.S. churches with 3,900 weekend attendees. Almost, look at this number, almost 15 times more than just 20 years ago. 15 times more in 20 years are the churches that are 3,900 in attendance. And he talks about there's 850 mega churches in the United States alone. 2,000, that's a church over 2,000 with over 2,000 in attendance. And I'm really not wanting to just bore you with a bunch of stats, but also I found this thing from Hartford Institute of Religious Research. And it listed all the churches that were in the United States of America that were over 2,000 in attendance on weekends. I went through that list, hundreds of churches. When I went through that list, I just selected out of it the ones that ran over 10,000. There were 25. That's in 2004. There's more than that. I've been to some of these churches. I've been to number 8. Well, are you flipping them through there for me? I've been to number 18. I've been to number 24. I'm going to go to number 14 real soon. But I want you to see what I'm trying to say to you is the point that I want us to get to make sure that we see is that this is happening today. This is what God is doing today. The kingdom of God is expanding and it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal and you're not hearing about it. Do you know why you're not hearing about this phenomenal thing that's happening in the earth today? It's because it does not fit in traditional theology. See, in traditional theology, things are supposed to be getting worse. In traditional theology, we're supposed to be losing. We're not losing. We're winning. And it's getting more and more and more powerful every single day. You hear stuff like the church is weak and impotent. That is not true. It is more powerful and larger and stronger today than it's ever been. It is not weak. It is irresistible. And it's getting bigger and bigger because it's the best. Now, let me give you one more piece of information and then I'm going to start closing. How many of you are familiar with Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas? Okay, you've seen them on television. Joel Osteen, pastoring it. Run 25,000 people on their weekend services, and they have about 5 services. And they have about 25,000 people that's been coming to their weekend services. Well, what they've done is they acquired the Compact Center in Houston. And the article that I'm about to give you and talk to you about is written just before they moved into the Compact Center. And I want to read you this. It's from Business Week Online. And last week they moved into it. Last weekend was their first week there. But here's an article that was written just prior to this. It says here, flush with success, Osteen is laying out $90 million to transform the massive Compact Center in downtown Houston, former home of the NBA Houston Rockets, into a church that will sit 16,000 complete with a high-tech stage for its TV shows and Sunday school for 5,000 children. In other words, on one service, they can handle 21,000 people. After it opens in July, he predicts weekend attendance will rocket to, tell me that number, 100,000. One church, 100,000 people. You can't hardly get that many to a football game. Even if it's Tennessee sometimes. But you hear what I'm trying to say? 100,000 people, says Osteen. Other churches have not kept up and they lose people by not changing with the times. See, they've created an irresistible environment that continues to change and be what a society needs and minister relevant. It becomes what the society needs. So last week they opened it. They had a Saturday night service. We watched that online. Judy and I did. And then they had the Sunday service and I videoed it. I'm going to show you just a piece from it in just a second. But what happened is that they filled it. The first time they turned away thousands of people. They filled it the second time and turned away thousands of people. The internet was blocked going both directions for 4 miles. What did I say? Internet. Well, the internet was probably blocked too. But the interstate. Let me make sure I say it. The interstate was blocked. There's not a lot of difference. The interstate was blocked going in both directions. And what I want is I want to show you this. And they turned away 10,000 people. I want to show you this quick video clip that I have for you and just let you see the phenomenal thing that's happening in the earth right now. Will you roll that video for me, please?
Be free. to our new home. This is the very first weekend here at the new Lakewood Church. We're here at the former Compact Center, and after a year and a half of renovations, we are celebrating what God has done. The critics said that we would go under, but God said, you'll go over. The critics said we would have to shut our doors. And in a sense, I guess they were right. We had to shut those doors because they were too small. We had to shut those doors so we could come down to a Texas-sized sanctuary. And really, it's an exciting time to be alive. I've never seen a hunger for God like I've seen today. Faith in our society is at an all-time high. And yes, I know there are some negative things happening, but I believe there is a spiritual awakening taking place. I believe God is on the verge of doing some unusual things. Somebody has said when you go into a city, you can see what's important to the people by the buildings they have built. And most of the time it's office towers and sports arenas, stadiums. Nothing wrong with that. But isn't it great now when people come into our city, the city of Houston, one of the major landmarks is a house of worship. When people drive by... When people drive by, they can tell their friends, hey, that's a place of hope. That's a place of healing. I believe as never before, we will be a great asset to this city. I love this city. I love the people. I want to publicly thank the city leaders, the city government, for believing in us enough to make it possible that we could be here not only today, but for the next 60 years. It says a whole lot about what our city stands for, that they would lease a premier facility to a church. I was thinking about when my father started Lakewood back in 1959. They were in that abandoned feed store and they cleaned it out, put some chairs in it, and started having church on Mother's Day. And people came by and told my dad, John, nobody's going to come. You got this old rundown building. You're not in a real good location. You just can't build a big church out here. But I love this about my father. He never listened to the naysayers. He knew God had put that dream in his heart, and so he just kept pressing forward. In 1988, when my father built the sanctuary that holds 8,000, I remember walking in the first time, it was so big. I thought to myself, we will never fill this place, it's huge. Yet 17 years later, it's too small, we had to move out. I look around at this place today, and it already looks too small. I think my son Jonathan was right, we may need a bigger place. But I know this. This is only the beginning. When we first started going after this place, a friend of mine came back from this big business luncheon and he said, Joel, they were kind of making fun of you today, thinking that you could really get the Compact Center. He said, this guy stood up at my table and he didn't really know that I knew you. And he kind of laughed and he said, yeah, it'll be a cold day in hell before Lakewood ever gets the Compact Center. I was thinking today how it must be a little bit cold down there because here we are. God has done great things.
Yes, yes. Now, one reason that I've shared all of this with you, all of these statistics, given you this stuff, showed you this video and all this stuff, is I want you to know that the kingdom of God is winning. Not the devil, not the kingdom of darkness. We are winning. We're going forth. The stone is filling the earth. It's becoming bigger and stronger and more powerful. There are more people saved today than ever in the history of humanity. And listen to what I'm about to say. The church is stronger today than it was on the day of Pentecost. Think about it. Come on. Think about what I just said. It's stronger today than it's ever been. And God is doing some mighty, mighty things. Another reason that I wanted to say this is I want us to look at ourselves. I want us to look at our area. How many of you would like something as phenomenal as what happened in Houston, Texas to happen right here? How many of you would like that? Would you? Listen. And you may say, Delbert, that's stupid because that's Houston and this is this region. This is a small region. Well, listen, they started in an abandoned feed store. Tell me what we started in. Abandoned feed store. They started with 80, 90 people. We got more than that. Come on. Listen, we got to understand that God is moving and God wants it more than we want it. Our part is to create an irresistible environment. If we'll create an irresistible environment, the movie said, if you build it, they will come. right? So if we create this irresistible environment in every single area, when people come here, you work hard to get people here, don't you? You work hard to get them here. And if they come into an irresistible environment, they're going to be touched and they're going to stay. So it's really coming down to this. And this is what I'm trying to say today. What are you doing to make it that way? What are you doing here at LifeGate Church to make it irresistible? See, it's got to be the best. It's got to be the irresistible best. It's got to be the best location. We have a good location. We want the best. It's got to be the best facility. We have a good facility. We want the best. It's got to be the best children's ministry. We got a good children's ministry. We want the best. It's got to be the best teen ministry. We got a good teens ministry. We want the best. It's got to be the best praise. It's got to be the best teaching ministry. We got a good teaching ministry, but we want the best, right? And we want everything to be the best, because when you bring somebody here, they need to be touched with the best. Something about the best is going to get them. Irresistible best. They're going to come back. And I want to close with this thought. This story, it happened just a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, I took several people in the children's ministry down to North Point, Andy Stanley's church, a 20,000 member church down there. And I wanted them to see their children's ministry. And so what Judy and I did, we went down to my daughter's house, Bonnie and son-in-law Jody, and with their two sons, two of my grandsons, Jack and Max. Imagine me going blank with them. Anyway, Jack and Max. And we went down there, and Jody had never been. All of us had been, except for the people that I was taking down there. We'd already been. We were interested to see how it would affect Jody. Jody's got a laid-back, eagle-type temperament, and he's kind of laid-back, and we were interested to see how it went. Well, we got to the service, and just as I said, they had police out there directing traffic, and we get into the parking lot, and they got people in there telling you where to park, and we go in, and you're lined up so you can get into the sanctuary, and you try to rush in a pandemonium mode to try to get the best seats, and so, you know, it's this kind of a way. So we're in there, and enjoying the service and enjoying the time together, and it's over, and it started precisely at 10:30, and it got over at exactly 11:40, 1 hour and 10 minutes, and that's about what we'll do today. But anyway, it was 1 hour and 10 minutes, and then we went to their children's ministry, which is called Kid Stuff. And it's a continual every week King's Castle. That's what it is. It's got the boom cameras and all cameras and a stage set up, and it's got these great costumes and really talented people that are doing it, and it's done first class, and there's hundreds of kids in there and hundreds of adults watching the kids, and it was just really, really cool. And so we left, and our group came home. We went to eat, and they went and did their stuff, and we hadn't heard anything from Jody. We were all really interested to see how he was going to respond to that time together. And so finally, a couple of days later, he came up to Bonnie, and he says, "Well, are we going to talk about church?" And Bonnie says, "Well, I wanted to talk about it, but I didn't want to press it. I want to know what you thought." So he says, "Well, I liked it. I liked it a lot." He says, "What I really liked was how they respected my time." See, this is one of the things we're trying to do here with the one-hour service, because I know some of you don't like it, but we respect your time. See, Jody works hard. He's a lawyer, and he makes a lot of money, but he has to pull long hours. And so when he gets to be home, he wants to stay home with his children. He wants to stay home with his wife. He enjoys just going off with them. And he doesn't want to have to feel like he's got to go someplace for several hours. He said, I like how they respected my time. But, Bonnie, when I saw what they offered my children, here's what he said. How could I help but not go back? In other words, what was irresistible to Jody was what they provided for his children. That children's ministry was irresistible to him. Oh, he liked the preaching and the singing. He liked all those things. But you see, your thing might not be a children's ministry. That might not be the irresistible thing for you. Or the irresistible teaching, or the irresistible teen ministries, or children, or other things. So that might not be the things that really get to you. But there's something. Something got you. You're here because you like something, right? And every person has something that if we can provide it for them, and it's an irresistible thing when they come in, then they can't help but come back. And if they come back, if you walk along the river long enough, you're going to fall in. And if they come back, they're going to hear the irresistible message of the kingdom of God, and their lives are going to change. And they're going to be coming into the kingdom of God because Father promises, I'm going to draw them. I'm going to draw them. I'm going to draw every single one of them. So again, what are you doing to help us? What are you doing to make it irresistible? Do you want to do anything? Do you really want it to happen here? Are you willing to commit the next 5 years of your life to the kingdom and really give it all you got? You know, and I know you preach things like this, and people hear things like this, and they kind of get convicted, and they say, "Yeah, I know I need to be doing something." But please don't do today what you've probably done before. Or do what most of us do. Yeah, I'm going to do it. And then you go home, you sleep tonight, and you wake up Monday, and there's something more important. I'm here to tell you today, there is nothing more important happening in this planet than the kingdom of God expanding and souls being saved. Amen. Nothing more important. Amen. So here's how I want to end. I want to ask you to bow your head. And I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that I need to do? Now, if you hear nothing, then you're listening to the wrong voice. Jesus said that you can't put your hand to the plow and look back. He says the harvest is full, but the laborers are few. You see, he wants you to do something. What is it that you can do? What is it that you want? And if you don't hear something specifically, you come and talk to somebody. And we'll hook you up until God makes it clear what you can do. But we need help in certain areas to make certain areas more irresistible. We need your help. So I'm going to give you just a few moments of quietness, and I want you to ask the Lord what it is that you can do to help this place be a simply irresistible best place.